Okay, we left off on Lamed or Med Aleph, right in the middle of the Amud, where there's a Machlokes Rav Shmuel. Shmuel was visiting in Rav's community. Rav Paskin v'halocha like Reb Yehuda, the Chomet Sho'ova Olav HaPesach is a Nisa Deraisa. So even if nobody violated Bal Yerubai Matzah, the Chomet Sho'ova HaPesach is also. Number one. Number two, we know that an Issa Kemichal on a Bliya, Vaharaya from the institution of Mariko Shtifa, when the Kohanim finish eating the Korban Chatos, Nechel Yom Velayla, Ad Chatzos, they finish eating it, they wash out their pot and they put it away. And nonetheless, the Bliya and the pot, the Issa Noiser is Chal on the Bliya and the pot when it comes Alos al Shachar, Minotaira. You're allowed to eat it all night long till Alos al Shachar, the Rabbanan. It's a discussion. Is it a very chal the yisa noisa mid the rabbanon that chatzais or not? That's in the end of the mesichta. There's such a discussion whether the yisa noisa is chal mid the rabbanon. But leave it out. Let's say when it comes alos hashachar of tomorrow morning, the yisa noisa is chal on the bli and the pat. So that's why you have to kasha the pat. You need mariko shtifa. There was a machlekes the Rambam and the Ravid in 2 days and Tosafot. When do you do the mariko shtifa? The Rambam holds you do it ekev achila immediately after you finish eating before it becomes treif. If you're going to leave it, if you're going to leave the bli and the pot till it becomes alos hashachar, then it won't be good enough with hagola. Then it's going to be isur bala, the whole kula, that hagola is sufficient. Even though you broil the chatos in a broiler, that's why we pass on like rabbit, that's all because hadera bala. So the Ran explained, because the yisur can't be chal on a tam kolush. So that's only if you do the Marika Shtifa before it becomes nicer. That's how the Rambam understood. That's what we assume in Yeridah. We assume like that Ran. The Ran on the Rif and Perikol Abbasim and Chulin explained two dinim that were interconnected. One was two kulas that you have in Hetera Bola. One kula is that you never need Libon. Hagol is always good enough. The other kula, the Nat Banat. The Surah is also Nat Banat. The Hetera is Mutter. So the Ran explained that they're both based on the same idea. When you have a not by not, all you have over here is the first blia was nivela into a plate, then the second blia from the plate into the fish. So if you have a nice and tam by nice and tam, one was in a kli. If they're both in an oichel, then the prima gondon points out it's not called not by not. You have to have the first blia was in a kli, and from the kli it went into a meichel. So bliya of not by not, it's already a tam sheni, is only a tam kolush. So if it's a terabola and it didn't become treif yet, so this, I took a burning, if I take a cold fish and I put it on a cold plate, a fleshy plate, so there's no bliya between it at all. If I take a hot fish, I just fried a fish. Fish is parva. So I take a hot fish and I put it on a cold fleshy plate, so then there will be a little bliya. But it's only going to be a tam kolish because the fleshig bliya was nivla into the plate 10 hours ago when I had supper, and now I'm making a lunch the next day, whatever, 15 hours ago. Now I'm making lunch, so today I fry the fish and I put it on the cold fleshig plate, so that because the fish is burning hot, so there will be a bliya, but it's only going to be a tam kolish. So if the plate has a trefa bliya in it. So tam, even though it's only a tam kolush, that the tray for bliya from the plate is going to be nibbled into the fish, a tam kolush is enough to retain an isa. The isa already was there when I cooked the trayfus, when I put the burning hot trayfus in the plate. So it was already trayf. The isa was chal already. So tam kolush is enough to maintain the isa of tam kiker. It's enough to carry the isa that already existed. But if it's a terabola, if it's kosher flesh, that was nivla. The tam of kosher meat was nivla into the plate. Then dogm sha'ola b'kaira, I put burning hot fish on top of a cold plate. So the bliya goes from the plate into the fish. It's only going to be a tam kolush. So a tam kolush. And then I want to put in kutach. I want to mix it with milk or with butter. So then a tam kolush is not enough to have an isa chal on it. An isa can only be chal on a tambori, on a strong, on a sturdy tam. It's only a tam kolish, isa can't be chal. And it's the same explanation why you never need libum by hetera bola. Because that's what the Ran explained. Whenever you have a kli that really was bolea al yidei ho'esh, B'liam tzolos ha'maim. There was no liquid there. So it really needs libun. So what's the din if you take a kli that needs libun and you only do hagola? So hagola will knock out most of the blia. There'll be a little bit of the blia left. It didn't take out the whole blia. The little bit of blia that's left behind, the maximum it can be, the Ran is suggesting, maximum it can be is going to be a tam kolosh. So if the blia was already treif, have a treif of blia, was nibbler into a broiler, and then I'm going to do Hagola. So Hagola, after Hagola, you're going to have left still a Tam Kolosh of the Treif of Lisa. Tam Kolosh is enough to retain an Issa, to preserve an Issa. It already was Treif yesterday when it was Nivla into the broiler. But if it's a Fleshig broiler that's kosher, it's not Treif. It's a Fleshig broiler. And then I'm going to do Hagola on the broiler. So it's going to knock out 98% of the Tam. So the little bit of tam that will remain behind after doing hagolanically that really needs libun is only going to be a tam kolosh. So nisa can't be chal on a tam kolosh. It's muta liachla bekutach. You're permitted to mix in. You're permitted to have the fish that has the fleshig blia in it, because the whole fleshig blia that it has didn't come directly from flesh. It only came from the tam that was in the plate. Dag mashallah bekairo. So you're permitted to put kutach. Kutach is butter and milchiks with milk. You're permitted to have that fish with milchiks. So according to Rav Paskin's Lalocha like Rav Yehuda, the Chumash Aval HaPesach is an Issa Deraisa, even if he didn't violate by Rabbi Matzah. Where are cases where he didn't violate? So Chumash Al Nochri, Chumash Al Hegdish. We had both cases in the previous Daf Chav test. Here's a third case, a blia of chametz. I have chametz dike kelim and I have a blia. So the Gemara seems to be assuming that the Chazon Ish explains. I don't think Rashi disagrees. Rashi doesn't spell it out as clearly as the Chazon Ish does. There's no by matzah and blia as kelim. So you can leave the blia, you can leave the chametz dike kelim. You don't have to sell it to a goy. And we don't recommend that you should sell the chametz di kikelim to the goy, because then when you buy it back after Pesach is over, you have to do tvilas kelim. You have to be toivel le kelim in a mikveh. That's a pasuk in Chumash, that whenever you buy clay suda from a goy, whether they're used or they're brand new, doesn't make a difference. You have to be toivel in a mikveh. If they're used, then the Gemara says first you have to kasher it, and then after it's ready kasher, then you have to be toivel in a mikveh. If you'll be toivel it before you kasher it, then some of the Rishonim use an expression, toivel the sheretz biyadai. They say that it's not right to kasher it, it's not right to be toivel it in the mikveh before you take out the treif of bliya. But b'dieved, that's a question. Would you say even b'dieved, if you kasher it, if you would toivel it first in the mikveh, then you kasher it later, would you say you have to be toivel it again a second time in the mikveh? So that's a discussion in the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch. How far do you go with this idea of toivel, the concept of toivel the sheretz biyada? So Rav holds that chomet, like Rav Yehuda, chomet over Pesach is an issa deraisa. So all the chomets that can kelim become treif on Pesach, even though you don't buy lay by your matzah, they all become treif. So if you have metal kelim, that you can't do like we do. We just put away the pots and pans, and after Pesach, we use them again. According to Rav, all the pots and pans become treif as soon as it comes Pesach, because chomet shavu'la Pesach. It's an isa deraisa. So after Pesach, you have to kasher all of the pots and pans. So this is nicha on the pots and pans that lend themselves to hagola or to libun. What if you have a kedera shel cheres? Omar Rav Kederis. Kederis means Kederis al Cheres. So Cheres, we have the Pasuk in the Chumash. HaTorah hi'idu al Kli Cheres, and yoytze midei dof yalu yalu. Torah says that you only can do Mariko Shtifa and Bikli Nechoshes Bushala if you cook the Korban Chatas in a metal Kli, in a Kappa Kli. But if you cook the Korban Chatas in a Kli Cheres, then you shover. Then you have to smash it. You can't use it again, because there's no way to kasher it, and it's going to have a Bli of Noisa. Because when it comes Alos HaShachar, of tomorrow morning, the bli in the pot is going to be chal and isa noiser on it. So you have to smash all the kelim. So that's what he says. There is the Pesach Yishavru, just like it says, if you have a kedera shalcheres that you cook the chatas in, if you wait till tomorrow morning, it's going to become noiser. So you have to smash it, because there's no way to kasher it. Why is there no way to kasher it? The Gemara in Zvachim on the upside of Gvabi has the kasha. That's the Tosfos on Amid Beis. Laman Amid Beis. Yivra Maschal HaTorah HiIda. The second Tosfos. So they quote from Perek Dam Chatos and Zvachim Daf Tzadik Vav. The Gemara says Beferish. Even though you can't Hagola doesn't help. HaTorah HiIda Kalicherish and Yotze Midei Dolfio Liolam. You can't remove the full bliya by doing Hagola. But if you do leave, it can help. So why don't you just take the Klicheris and the Beis Hamikdash? Why does the Torah tell us? You shove there, you have to smash it and throw it into the garbage. You can never use it again. Why don't you just do Liban? So the Gemara answers, strictly speaking, you can't do Liban. Well, we have a practice that in Yerushalayim, they don't make any Kipshonos. Because you're going to make big Kipshonos are big ovens where you kills where you complete, you convert a Kli Adoma into a Klicher Kli Adoma, not Mekabel Tumah, and all Klicheres are Mekabel Tumah from the inside, not from the outside. So what switches had, what changes it from a Kli Adoma, which is not Mekabel Tumah at all, even with the Rabbanon, to a Klicheres, when you do Hachzor Le Kivshanis, when he put it into a Kivshan. So these Kivshanis are gigantic things that make a lot of smoke all over the place. So the Gemara says, we don't want to make Kivshanis in Yerushalayim, because you're going to have, the streets are going to be smelling from the smoke. So the Torah has a din. Klicheres ha-shatibush al-bo yishover is on the assumption that near the Beis HaMikdosh, when you're going to have these klicheres that you cooked or you broiled the carbon chattas in, you don't want to have smoke over there. So the assumption is that you're not going to have the... It wasn't only in Yerushalayim. When they had the Bama Gedola in Novi Givon, so also they in a private Bama is a Bama Ktana. There was a Zman Heter Bamas during Shiloh when the Beis Hamikdash was in Shiloh, when the Mishkan Shiloh, so there was an Issa Bamas, and before Shiloh and after Shiloh there was a Heter Bamas. So there was a Bamas Yochid and a Bamas Tiba. Bamas Yochid can only be Makariv, Nidorim, and Adobis. The Gemara learns it from Sukkot. But Achatos and Anoshim is a Chayva. That's not the Bob and Adobah. So that you can only bring either in Mishkan Shila or Yerushalayim or the Bama Gedola. You can bring it in a Bama Gedola. So wherever you're going to have a Bama Gedola, so the Torah is assuming that you're not going to want to have Kivshainus nearby, because you don't want to have the smoke in the street. You want to eat carbonus there. It should be a nice fresh air. It should be clean air. You don't want to have polluted air. So because ein oisim kivshonis b'Yerushalayim, so that's why the Torah has a din, klicheres ha-shetibush al-bo yishover, you should smash it and throw it out in the garbage. You can't use it again. But strictly speaking, if you live in New York and the air is all polluted anyway, and you have a tray for klicheres, so you can do libun. True, you can't do hagola, but you can do Libun, and the Libun will take care of the problem. So we mentioned yesterday that the Rishonim Tosfos asked the question, what do you mean? How does the Gemara assume? Our Gemara also says like that, Laman Amid Beis. If you do Libun, then it's good. It's the same as the Gemara Zvachim Daf Tzadik Vav, that even though Klicheres Hagala doesn't help, Libun doesn't help. So Tosfos and the other Rishonim ask, but the Gemara made a statement, HaTorah Hid Al Klicheres, that there's no way to remove the treifas from it. How does the Gemara know that the Liban is going to work? So Tosis assumes that Liban, what is accomplished by kashering a treifa kli, when you do Liban, is the same as what is accomplished when you do Hagola. When you do Hagola, the treifa kli is maflit, the iser. It spits it out. The burning, when you take a tray for fork or a knife and you put, or you a tray for pot, you put into bubbling, burning hot water. That's mala resicha. Mala resicha means close to 212 from 195 and up is mala resicha. So then what you accomplish is the whole tray for plate that goes into the water. So Tosis assumes the same is true when you do libun. When you have burning hot fire applied to a tray for kli, so the treifa bliya will come out, and then it'll be burnt by the yesh, because there's a fire there. It'll be maflit. So that's what they said, but HaTorah Hid Al Klicheres, that it'll never spit out the whole bliya. So they says, Anachinami, you will not succeed in getting the bliya out from the Kli if you do Libun. Some of it may come out, some of it we don't know. Some of it may come out now, some may come out later. It's not like a normal Kli Mateches that you assume the whole plate, the whole Bli is going to come out when you do Libun. The whole Bli is going to come out when you do Hagola. But Kli Cheres, you can never tell. Some may come out now, some may come out later. So you can't rely on that Heter. So why is it mutter if you do Libun? Why is it mutter? Tes says, no, it's Parim Chadosh's Bo'olakan. It's considered like a Kli Acher. And since it's a different Heft of a Kli, so I say it's not the same Kli. It's a mamash, the exact same Kli, but Api Alocha, we consider it as if, like Gershon has got Kekot and Shunala Domi, we say it's not the same Kli that became Treif before. What do you mean? But it has a Treif of Bliya in it. So apparently Taisus thinks that not Barnat, the Yisur is only an Issa de Rabbanim. So therefore there's room to be Mekel. The Issa de Rabbanim is only instituted if the Bliya is if the Bliya, Trefa Bliya, is coming out from the Trefa Pat, the same Trefa Pat that was Balea it. But if Alpidin is considered Panim Chadosh and considered a new Pat, and Achanami, it's a new Pat that was created with a Trefa Bliya in it, but it's not the same Pat that was Balea the Trefus originally. So since it's a Kli Acher, so they never made the Chumra of Nat Barnat Yisur. That's a Chiddush. The Nat Barnat Yisur is only with the Rabbanan. The Prima Gonim raises that issue. This distinction that we make between Nat Barnat Heter and Nat Barnat Yisur, and Nat Barnat Yisur is also, is that Minatera, is that with the Rabbanan? So the way we usually read the Ran, that famous Ran that we said before, the Ran and Chulin, the Perikal HaBasar, we assume that it's a real Din Deraisa. So the Prima Gonim quotes some Voskim and say clearly that it's only a Din with the Rabbanan. So this Taisa seems to hold like that. Because what does it help that they say it's a Kli Acher, it's a Panim Chadosh, and so what? It's Alpidin, it's a Kli Acher, but still, it has a Treif of Bliya in it. So why doesn't that Treif of Bliya make Treif? So you have to assume that Nois and Tam by Nois and Tam doesn't count Menatur. Not by Not doesn't count Menatur, even by Yisur Rabbanon. It's only a Chumer Midir Rabbanon, and a Chumer Rabbanon was only made if this is identical Kli that was Balea, the Treifus originally. But if it's a Kli Acher, if the Halacha considers it a Kli Acher, even though it has starts off with a Trefa Bliya in it, they never asked Midr Rabbanon. Okay, Chiddush. So the Avnei Nezer has a Tshuva where he said, that's what Taisus answered. And it's questionable whether we accept Taisus. The Pashta says we don't accept Taisus' answer. We assume like the Ra'o. So what did the Ra'o say? The Ra'o said, Hatar Hira Kli Cheres, Shena Yotimi De Dofyo, the Bliya will never, if you'll do a Hagola, the Bliya will not fully come out. But that's only if you do a Hagola. You can't assume the entire Bliya will come out. Maybe some will come out, and maybe some will come out later when you cook the kosher soup in it. So the little Bliya that will come out later when you cook kosher soup and you cook kosher food and the treif apart that I just did Hagola on, that'll make treif the kosher food from later. But if you do Libun on it, so Libun is not the accomplishment, and not like Taisus seems to assume, that Libun is maflit the Bliya, and once it's already out of the Kli on the surface, then the fire that was applied to the Kli is going to cause it to evaporate. It'll burn up the whole Bliya. No, it's surfamim koma, the heat is so intense by Libun that it'll be surfed the Bliya in the Kli. So that's not covered with the statement, HaTarira Kacherish Eino Yotzim, Eino Yotzim means, we assume in a Kli Cheres we won't succeed in being maflit the whole Bliya. But by Libun, we're not being maflit, but being sorifit bim kaimai. Yeah. Abti Pesach Frank has a tshuva aloha lamaisa. We said there's a rule, and the Gemara has the klal here on our base, that kibola kach polto. There are three different ways to kasher, treifa, let's say, achamiz dikakli. You can either do hagola or Libun, or mila v'yiru gimel yam. So if it's a Bliya Bitzainen, if you have, let's say, treif of wine was sitting in a barrel for more than 24 hours, so that's why we pass in Kovish Kamevush. We said there are three opinions. How long does the liquid have to be sitting in a Kli to say Kovish Kamevush? So one opinion is 12 hours. The Gemara's Lashon is, Itor Leikuli Yom Bechelva, that the din of Kovish Kamevush doesn't apply Menatera to Basa Becholov. Basa Becholov is only Derech Bishol Asetera. If you cook the meat and the milk together, but if you eat meat and milk together, you mix it all together, but you didn't cook it together, let's say it's klisheni ainam abashal. So I have a klisheni and I have fleshiks and I have milchiks. Everything is warming together, but it's only a klisheni. So klisheni is that mabashal. So the whole isa basa b'chala would only be the rabban. So the lashon haGemara is itora lekuli yoma b'chelva. If you have a piece of meat that's soaking in milk all day long, kuli yoma, then minatora doesn't become treif. It's only treif in the rabban mitam basa b'chala. How do you translate kuli yoma? So some rishonim say kuli yoma all day long, not all day and all night. All day, 12 hours to the day, 12 hours to the night. When you have the equinox, then the day and the night, each one has 12 hours. So that's one sheet that the Kovish can mevushal. Kuli yoma means all day long, 12 hours. We paskin that it's 24 hours. And then there was a third sheet that really doesn't fit into this Gemara, that it has to soak in the kli. Kovish can mevushal is only if it's 72 hours. Where'd they get that idea from? It's against the Gemara. That's why we don't accept it. Because in Loshan Gemara, if you shore the meat and the milk, kuli yoma, all day long, it becomes treif. So all day long means either 24 hours or 12 hours. So where did they get this idea that it's 72 hours? Because the din is kibola kachpolto. If you have a treif, a barrel that was balea stam yenam, but it was balea betzainen. So even though the treif, a barrel is a klicheres, and klicheres, hagola doesn't help. So the Gemara says, hagola doesn't help if it has a blia bechamin, if I poured in burning hot wine. But and it's yatzaledesbo. But if I put in room temperature wine, it's not nowhere near yatzaledesbo. That's halpidin tzainin. So if you have, there is a blia bitzainin. Well, whenever the blia in the klicheris is bitzainin, so I say, kibola kach polto. You can kasher it by using the same method. Whenever there's a blia by broiling, then you need libun. Whenever there's a blia by cooking soup, this liquid, so then you kasher the treifa kli by doing hagola. Whenever the blia was kavish kemivushal, then the way to get the blia out is mili liri gimel yam. You soak the pot or the treifa fork and knife, whatever it is. If blia was only kavish kemivushal, then you soak it for 72 hours, changing the water every 24 hours. So why 72 hours? So that's what these rishonim understood. The shita we don't paskalai. They understood because you only say kavish kemivushal if it soaks for 72 hours. So kibola kach polta, the same way you need 72 hours that it should be nivla, so you need 72 hours kibola kach polta to get the blia out. So we don't paskin like that. We paskin kavish kemivushal is 24 hours, and kibola kach polta only determines what form of kosherization you need. They need hagola, a limun, a mili v'yiri gimel yamim. To have the treifa kli soak in water for 72 hours. So that only kibola kach polta only determines which form of kosherization do you need. Hagola liman on mili vir gilyam, but it doesn't necessarily determine all the details of the case. Even though kovish kemivushal is accomplished, the treifa blia will be nivla into the pot in 24 hours, but in order to be maflit the blia, it's a blia b'tzainin, so that's why HaTorah Heida doesn't apply. So to be maflit the blia, you have to soak the pot for 72 hours. So the shaila is, what about, let's say, Hagola? I have a factory where they make non-kosher soups, and then they want to use on the same kelim, they want to use to make kosher soups. So you have to kasher the pipes. You have to kasher all the big containers, all the vessels in the company. So let's say we know that in this factory, the heat never goes above 160 degrees. But the din is that for Hagola, you need Mala Resicha. Mala Resicha means 212, boiling point, or if it's practically almost the same, from 195 and up. We assume that's called Mala Resicha. So the question is that requirement that you need Mala Resicha, is that a leitplug? Even if the blia was only the pots and pans and the pipes are such that it never goes above 160 degrees. the pots are not made to, the pots will break if you use it for more. Let's say in a chocolate company. So the chocolate, if they're gonna heat the chocolate to too high a degree, it's gonna burn. So it's always something around 120 degrees. It's borderline yatzaletisbo. It's even questionable. Let's say you have milchik chocolate, then you want to make parva chocolate. So you want a kasha in between so that the chocolate will be parva. So would you say that it's enough if you do hagola with burning hot water that's only 130 degrees? Because the bliya of the milchik chocolate was never 130 degrees. It was always less. It's always around 120. If you have 130, it's going to burn. The stuff is going to burn. Or let's say you have the trefus soup that they make. We know that the machinery in the factory is only able to take the heat till 160. They never make it hotter than 160. So would you say that when you do the hagola, it's also kabbalah kachpolta, not only establishes what form of kosherization you need, but does it also establish how hot the water, the degree of the temperature has to be? That since it's never hotter than 160 when they make a treif, so you never need more than 160 when you make a kosher. Kabbalah kachpot. Or you say no, just like by mili v'yiru gimel yamim, the blia will be nivla, the wine will be nivla into the barrels if it's soaking for 24 hours, kabbish kambushal 24 hours. But in order to kasher it, you say mili v'yiru. Since the blia is like they kavish, so the way to kasher it is like they kavish mili v'yira. But then you have to have mili v'yira 72 hours from switching the water. But why don't you just say kibbalah kachpolta, just soak it for 25? The answer is no. Kibbalah kachpolta only establishes what form of kosherization you need, but it doesn't establish all the details. So maybe we should say that by hagola, even though we know that this pot was never balea, anywhere near 195 degrees, the whole pot will fall apart. It will be, or the chocolate wouldn't have gotten ruined. It wouldn't taste like chocolate if it would be anywhere near that. It's the heat of the chocolate is around the degree of 120. It's not, it can't reach 130. They're careful, otherwise it'll ruin it. So what's the din? Do you say that? So the in Shulchan Aruch it says you still need hagola at Mala Resich. You need 195 and above, need 212. Why is that? Is that a chumra mid the Rabbanon, a light plug mid the Rabbanon, or is that a real din deraisa? So many of the recent poskim assume that it's only mid the Rabbanon. The Chazon Ish and Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank and the Minchas Yitzchok, they all assume that mikra din deraisa, you say kibola kach polto, not only on establishing what form of kosherization, but when you're doing hagola, how hot the water has to be. Kibola kach polto. So it's so there's a question, what about by libun? Let's say I broiled trefa steaks on a broiler, but I know how hot the broiler was. I know how hot it was. Let's say when you do libun, how hot does the fire have to be that it should accomplish libun? So we assume it has to be something like 950 degrees Fahrenheit. That's an awful lot. 950 degrees Fahrenheit is a lot. Mala Resicha is 212. The water will evaporate. So that's Hagola. You need Mala Resicha. And most of the recent poskim hold that the requirement for Mala Resicha is only mid the Rabbanon. It's a Chumra, a Loiplug, the Rabbanon, Mikra, Din, the Rice. They really say, however hot the product was when it became nivla, that's how hot the hagola has to be. You say kibbalah kachpolta, not only on the form of kosherization, but on the degree of the temperature. So the shaila is, what about libun? What if I know that we broiled trefa steaks on this broiler, but the fire never went above 700 degrees Fahrenheit? So do you still say that mi'ikar adin you need libun or not? So Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank distinguishes between Hagol and Libun. He says, we really hold like the Ra'o, that Libun does not accomplish the same, not like Tosis. He's going like the Avnei Nezer. We assume like the Ra'o, that Hagola is maflit the Bliya. So you say, Kibola, Kach Polto, the same way it was Bolea the treifas soup was nivla into the pot at 150 degrees Fahrenheit. So you can do hagala 150 degrees. You don't always need malar isicha. The same degree temperature that it was nivla, the same way it could be maflitit. But when you're doing libun is not to accomplish to be maflitit, not like tesis. If you would have held like tesis that libun accomplishes the same as hagala, namely it's maflit the belia, when we would have said by libun also, if we broil trefa steaks on the broiler and the temperature was never above 700 degrees, then you can do libun with 700 degrees. So Abtisa Pesach Frank assumes no, that we assume that by libun like the ra'o, it's sorfa bimkomo. So sorfa bimkomo, that's the tradition. You have to have 950 degrees Fahrenheit. Otherwise, not going to be sorfa bimkomo. If you say it's going, libun is to be maflit the b'liya, then you say kibola kach polto. However hot it was when it was balea, that's how hot it has to be when it's maflit. But we're saying it's not accomplishing. Libun is not accomplishing haflota. Hagol accomplishes that it's maflit. So then you say kibola kach polto. But libun has to be surf from mkomo. So it has to be enough to be surf. So surf is 950 degrees. That's why Rabbi Pesach Frank holds la locha like that. Yeah.
Tosfos would hold you don't need 950 degrees?
Right. The Minchas Yitzchak wants to be mekel even by Libun, that if you know that it was never, the temperature never went above 700, then strictly speaking, you can do Libun with 700. You don't always need 950. You need 950 if you don't know. Maybe it was once used in such a high degree temperature, then you need 950. But if you know it was never so high, then the Minchas Yitzchak, and Chas Yitzchak was the head of the Eidah Haredis for quite a few years. So he has, I think, 12 or 13 volumes of Shadis and Chuvis. So everybody quotes him his Chuvis.
But according to Tosos, that it's Panim Chadashos, shouldn't it be what the kiln was initially?
A good question. Okay, it's a good question. Good. Could well be. We don't follow the Minchas Yitzchak. We assume, like Ratzi Pesach Frank, that by Libun, you always need 950, and you don't say Kibola Kach Polta. Only by Hagola, Mi'ikar Adin, and it's only a Chumri Mid Rabbanan that you always make a Loiplug, you always need Malar Isicha. And then if it's really a big shot, it's only a Chumri, a Loiplug the Rabbanan, and maybe sometimes there's room to be Mekel. If you have a factory where it's an important product, if it's a parva chocolates and milchik chocolates, you can live without all the chocolates. We don't need all the deflation, the milchik chocolates or the parva chocolate. But if it's an essential product, so then maybe there would be room to be mekel once in a while. If it's a big shas hatrak and you can't make a hagola with 195, so then maybe there would be room to make a lan yikar adin. That kibola kapot at the same temperature, but by libun we assume there's no room to be making. So you can say your reason because the panim chadashos is only have the very high temperature, like when you manufacture these kelim, when you convert the clay adam into kli cheres. Or you can say that in order to be surfim emkama, it has to have this high degree temperature. Yeah. So there's a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel where they pass like Rabbi Yehuda, you pass like Rabbi Shimon. Shmuel Paschen is like Reb Shimon. The Chomesh Avah Pesach is only the Rabbanan as a penalty for violating Bal Yerah by Motzei. So if you didn't have any Chomets in your possession, you just had Chomets Dike Kelim, so the assumption in Gemara is that there is no Bal Yerah by Motzei. And Chomets Dike Blias in a Kli. Only on a Michael that's Chomets Dike. But Blias in a Kli, there's no Bal Yerah. So therefore, the Chomets Dike Kelim do not become treif after Pesach. But according to Reb Yehuda, all the chametz that you can become treif when it comes Pesach. So then after Pesach, you have to take them all out and kasher all of them. So the Gemara said, okay, so you'll kasher it. So it happens, Rashi explains over here, the Rav happens to hold that Nosen Tamla V'gam is awesome. That's a machlok hatanoim in Maseches Avodah Zarah. Nosen Tamla V'gam means like this. I have kosher soup that's delicious. And then a little chazer schmaltz fell in. The soup is still delicious, but it tasted even better before the Chazal Shmaltz fell in. So now it's Pagin B'Mikton. So that's called Nisan Tam Levgam. So that's a Machlokes HaTanoim. If you have a Nisir fell into Heter, and you can taste it, you can taste the Yisir, but it tasted better before the Yisir fell in. So that's called Nisan Tam Levgam. So that's a Machlokes. So we Paskin Nisan Tam Levgam Mutter, but Rashi points out, we don't pass like Rav for two reasons. Rashi says, first of all, one reason, Chada. And then Viod, Rashi writes, number one, that we hold Chamash al Rav Pesach is only a penalty mid the Rabbana for having violated Bal Yirah by Motze. And there is no Bal Yirah b'li Yos Kalim. Viod, and the second time, Rashi says, because we're talking, Viod, the Kamalan doesn't Tamil of Gam is Mutta. If you have the Chometzik, a Kli, has the Bli of Chometz sitting in the Kli the whole duration of Pesach for 8 days, 7, 8 days of Pesach. So the Bli is going to become nice and Tam Lev Gam. A Bli of food in a pot sitting with the cheres of the pot, or sitting with the metal of the pot, is going to get a metallic flavor. It's going to get charses hagdar. It's going to taste awful after sitting in the pot for 7, 8 days. So that's going to be the food that you'll cook in the pot will still be delicious. After Pesach, you'll cook kosher food. It'll still be delicious food, but it would have tasted more delicious if it wouldn't have had this chametz dika bli in it, because it's nice and tam levgam. It's poigim mid ben miktsas. So Rav happens to hold the nice and tam levgam mezatze. He holds like that tana. Okay, so that's why Rav has his chumah. So what would Rav say? And Rav and Shmuel both hold that min b'mina b'mashu, when you have lach b'lach, min b'mina b'mashu. So that's what Rav says over here. If you have a chometz dika kelim all year long, and they're kli cheres, and you can't kasha them with hagala, and you're afraid to do libun because you're going to ruin it. A lot of times you do libun on a pot, you're going to ruin it. The whole pot will crack. So that's what Rav is talking about. You have chometz dika kelim that it's impossible to do libun. And that klicheres, so hagola hatar hida, that hagola doesn't help. So if you have the chametz dika kelim after Pesach and you're going to cook a kosher meichel now, that's a mid b'minoi with the chametz dika meichel that was there before Pesach. So mid b'minoi lach b'lach, Rav holds like Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel both hold like Rav Yehuda. Mid b'minoi is b'mashu. So Rav holds a chametz al Pesach and zinisa deraisa. And mim and mina b'mashu, so he says, you're not even allowed to cook mim m'shena mina. After Pesach, you have this trefa kli, it has chomesh alo ha-Pesach in it. Even if you're going to cook a new meichel now, a kosher meichel after Pesach, that's going to be mim b'shena mina with the chomets that's balua in the pot, and mim m'shena mina is a bottle b'shishim, if you'll have shishim in the soup against the blia from the pot. But Rav makes a gzera de rabbanon. We don't allow you to cook mim sheni mina gzera to mim mina. Because if you cook a mim mina, it'll be an isa de raisa. Because Rav holds like Rav Yehuda the mim mina b'mashu, and Rav holds like Rav Yehuda the other same Rav Yehuda, the same person, but two different things. Rav Yehuda said the chametz shavu la pesach is an isa de raisa. Rav Yehuda holds mim mina b'mashu. So Rav paskins like both of those statements of Rav Yehuda. So Rav makes a gzera. But there's Pesach Hishavru. So Gemara says, why don't you just save it till after Pesach and cook mim m'sheinu mina? Gemara says, no, it's a gzera de rabbanu dil masel lemevet b'hu mim b'minoi. And l'shitasi he holds a chomesh ala Pesach is an isa deraisa. So it's going to be aser. If chomesh ala Pesach would only be an isa de rabbanu, it doesn't make sense to make a gzera. It's a gzera le gzera. The whole thing is only the rabbanu in the first place. And wouldn't make sense to say that it's Chomesh Arul HaPesach either, because nobody violated Bal Yirah by Matzeh. But it's Rav Lishitosa holds number one like Rav Yehuda. The Chomesh Arul HaPesach is an Isa Deraisa, so it becomes, the pots become treif, even though nobody violated Bal Yirah by Matzeh. And if you cook Mim B'minoi, after Pesach is over, you cook some new spaghetti, kosher spaghetti, in the pot now, it'll be Mim B'mina with the Chomets, and Mim B'mina is B'mashu. It's lach b'lach over here. It's going to be mim m'mina m'mashu. So even if he's going to cook mim m'shena m'mina, we make gzeira otam mim m'mina. Because if you cook mim m'mina, it'll be an isa deraisa. But Shmuel holds that chametz shavu la Pesach is only the rabbanon to begin with. And it doesn't apply here because on Trefik Chamizik Kekelim, nobody violated by Rabbi Matzeh. So there's no penalty. There's no room for any penalty. So it won't be Chametz Shavuot La Pesach. So he says you can cook either mim shenim. It doesn't matter what you're going to cook after Pesach. The Chametz Digabli in the pot. There's kosher. You don't have to kasher the pot. We don't kasher our pots. We put away all the Chametz Digab pots and they don't become treif. They don't become treif because Chametz Shavuot La Pesach is only chal. If you violated, someone violated by your Rabbi Matzah, here nobody violated by your Rabbi Matzah. So that's what the Gemara says. That's the machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel. Shmuel also agrees with the Rabbi, Mimimina b'mashehu. But Mimimina b'mashehu, if there's an Issa, but over here it didn't become Chametz Shavuot Pesach in the first place, because nobody violated by your Rabbi Matzah. That's the Gemara. Vaz de Shmuel etamei. Shmuel goes to Shitosa that he told Hano that Masbi, the Mizabne Kandi, he told those who were selling the brand new Kalim after Pesach, make sure you don't overcharge, because then I'm gonna let the public know that I don't agree with Rav. The public in Asri, the Rav and Rav's community, the Balabatim are supposed to follow Rav's psak, that they have to throw out all the Chomes that can kill and buy new ones. They're not allowed to listen to me. But if I'll publicize the fact that I don't agree with Rav, a lot of people will listen to me. They're not supposed to. They're supposed to follow their rabbi, Rav. Or the Asra has a din like Rabbi Muvok. But some of the people will listen to me, and then you will lose a lot of money. So he warned the merchants, you shouldn't overcharge, because you're going to overcharge on the brand new Kalim. I'm going to see to it that you should lose out. Okay. Fine. That's the Gemara. Then the Gemara starts 6 lines from the bottom of Hu Tanura. Once upon a time, there was an oven, and they used to bake bread in the oven. They used to put the bread, we put bread on a baking tin, and we put the tin in the oven. In the days of the Gemara, they would have the raw dough and slap it on the sides of the oven, on the two sides, on the top, on the back wall, on the floor, on the bottom. Then they would have a fire in the middle, and then after everything would get baked, the bread would get baked, they would scrape it off. That's called Redias Hapas, the scrape off the bread after it's fully baked from the oven, because it's stuck onto the oven. It's not like today that we put it on a baking tin and you take out the baking tin, then you scrape it off of the baking tin. Days of Gemara, they put it on the oven. So what happened was, Hahu Tanur, there was once an oven where they baked bread. The Tocha Batichaya, they took fleshig schmaltz, and they smeared the whole floor of the oven with schmaltz. And then they baked the chalas, they baked the bread, right on top of the schmaltz. So they made fleshig bread. So fleshig bread and milchig bread is exer derabonim, since bread is normally parava. And bread in the days of the Gemara, till very recently, bread was the staple of all the meals, all the Europeans. I remember in Eretzel also until recently. Everybody would eat 8 slices of bread in every meal, and a little bit of chicken, a little bit of soup, a little bit of other stuff. But everybody would eat the whole half of a loaf of bread, 8 slices of bread. So because bread is normally eaten both for fleishig zam and milchig, so they made exerid rabbanon, if you make fleishig bread and milchig bread, you're not allowed to eat it, period. You're not even allowed to eat it with parava. Not allowed to eat it, period. So the Gemara Ha'utanur, once upon a time there was an oven, Tocha b'tichaya, they smeared on schmaltz on the floor of the oven, and then they baked bread on top of the schmaltz. Asara Rabba Barahiloi, it's not the famous Rabba, it's a different Rabba. Rabba Barahiloi said, Asara lemechle lerifta, he prohibited them from eating the bread, rifta is the bread, afila b'milcha, even to eat it just with salt, to eat bread without, not fleshings, not milchings. You're not allowed to eat it, period. Why? Because that's the gzera de Rabbana, you're not allowed to eat flesh of bread and milchig bread. The Gemara says later, Lekamon on Daf Lamed Vav, it's going to say, if you bake the bread with a shinoi, the Gemara calls it Ke'ein Tura. He made it with a funny shape, like the eye of a bull. It doesn't look like a normal loaf of bread. So if it has a funny shape to it, then you know, oh, that shape means that it's milchik, or that shape means that it's fleshik, so then it is okay. If you have a heker on the bread that it's milchik or fleshik, then it's not a problem. So that's the big shaila. What if on the bread itself there is no hecker, but you write on the wrapper that this, and you put the bread in the refrigerator in the wrapper, and the wrapper says that it's fleshig, or the wrapper says that it's milchig. So maybe that's just as good as having a heker on the bread. So most are machmer on that, because the Pischi Tshuva, when this is quoted in Hilchas Basa B'chalav, where is it? It says Simen Tzadik Zayin. That's the last Simen in Hilchas Basa B'chalav at Tzadik Zayin. And then you have Hilchas Tarubis begins with Simen Tzadik Ches. So at the very end, the last two, last Sifa two in Hilchas Basa B'chalav, quote these dinim. So the Pischi Tshuva there quotes from the Chabas Das. That's the commentary written by the author of the Nesibas on Choshe Mishpat. So he wrote the Chabas Das on Yeridei, very strong sefer. So the Chabas Das says that the heker only helps on the bread. If you have a simen on the bread, it has a different shape. So when I look at the bread, I know right away this is milchik bread or it's fleshik bread, because that simen is a dead giveaway. But if the heker is just going to be on the wrapper, on the bread, there is no heker. So then there's no heter. Rav Soloveitchik used to, his father thought not so. His father, Moshe Soloveitchik, thought that even if you have a heker on the wrapper, the Chabas Das is right, that the Chachamim declared that it's treif. So once you baked it already, it's treif. But if it didn't have a chance to cool down yet, the Chochmas Adam quotes, Chochmas Adam was a businessman. And then the end of his life, they appointed him as a dayan in Vilna. He was a businessman all the years. And when he wrote the Chayyadam and Chachmas Adam, he was a balabas. He was a very learned balabas. So in his Sefer Chochmas Adam, he quotes a story that once a woman was baking challis for Shabbos at the same time that she was doing the chicken in the oven. And she had the challis on the floor of baking on the floor of the oven. And she had the chicken a little bit, a few inches away, and the schmaltz from the chicken floated over, floated over to the challah and made the challah fleshig. So fleshig challah is treif. So she asked the dayan, what should she do? He wasn't the dayan. The Chochmas Adam is not the dayan. So the dayan was Rabbaba le Pasvela. Pasvela is like a borough park. It's like a neighborhood on the outskirts of Manhattan. So Pasvel was on the outskirts of Vilna. So this Rabbaba was the dayan then. The Chochmas Adam, the Chochmas Adam, every 100 pages he has some psak. Every 75 pages he has a psak from Rabbaba Pasvel. So he quotes that Rabbaba said, do a heker right now. Take a piece of chicken and stick it into the challah right now. So the challah would be a dead giveaway that is fleshing. Has a piece of chicken sticking in it. So he said, if the challah is still hot, it didn't cool down yet, so then you can make the heker now. But that's what Moshe Soloveitchik thought, that if you wait till the challah, you make milchig bread. So if you wait till it cools down, so then the whole afia process is finished, then the bread is already treif. Milchig bread, fleshig bread is treif. So it doesn't help that you put a wrapper on it. It doesn't make the treif of bread kosher. But if the baking process didn't finish yet, you took the bread out from the oven, but it's still burning hot. So just like the dayan said, stick in a fligala, stick in a piece of chicken into the challah, so it'll be a heker in the challah before it cools down. So Moshe Soloveitchik said, if they put a wrapper on when it's still hot, before it cools down, I don't know, you have to find out, when do they put the wrapper on? Do they put it on when it's still hot, or do they wait till after it cools down? So he said, if you put a wrapper, it's also good. So that's what Rabbi Senter, when he started the Chav Kei, so he originally started by making milchik bread and writing on the wrapper that it's milchik. And everybody, they almost stoned him. They almost put him in cheirem. And it didn't help. He was saying that Rabbi Soloveitchik said that his father said it's okay. It doesn't matter what Rabbi Soloveitchik said. Everybody knows that it says in Yeridei you're not allowed to. So he had to discontinue. So he stopped making milchik bread. So the legitimate kashrus organizations, unfortunately, they're not all legitimate. The legitimate kashrus organization will not give a hechshed to fleshig bread and milchik bread. So the Gemara asked the kasha, Meisvei, why does Rava Barahi Loi say, Asora lemechla lerifta afila bimilcha le'oilam? There's no way to straighten out this mess. You can never bake part of a bread in this oven le'oilam. All the bread is going to be fleshig, and fleshig bread is also bachila. So the Gemara says, Meistvei, why? You can do libun on the oven. The Gemara asked the kasha, ain't loshen, so he said, b'chol, you're not allowed to mix in milk If you make melachik bread, it's asur. Because it may lead to an issa. The person won't realize that the bread is milch and he's going to eat it with fleshiks. What about milchi cakes? So Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say from his father that milchi cakes are also asa. Milchi cakes are also asa. Because cake is also bread. Sometimes you say hamoitzi on a cake. If you eat a cake is a subcategory of lechem. It's called pasabo bekisnet. When we're going to learn the hilchas matzah, after we finish the Mishnah, Laman Amid Beis, we'll skip, at least temporarily, to the Mishnah, Laman Hei Amid Allah. So the Gemara has there that sometimes you have a cake and you say, Bari Minim Zainis, but if you kodesh suda on the cake, if you eat enough, you eat a ton of cake, then you have to wash on until the Sandaim Seh HaMoitzin Seh Birchas HaMazin. Because cake is a pas habobikis, and it's a subcategory of pas, subcategory of lechem. And Yechai ben Hafrash has challah on cake. Even the Chumash says, "Vay bachochem milechem haaretz." When you eat lechem in Eretz Yisrael, when the Torah, the mitzvah of challah only applies in Eretz Yisrael. It's one of the agricultural mitzvahs. Mitzvah tliy baaretz. So the pasuk reads, "Vay bachochem milechem haaretz." The answer is, it is lechem. It's pas habobikisin. It's a subcategory of pas. So sometimes you do say hamoiti. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, he said the name of his father, milchik cake should also be awesome. Sometimes you have cheesecake. So you smell it. It's a dead giveaway that it's cheesecake. So that's better. That's like having the piece of chicken in the bread. So if it's cheesecake, you can smell it. So it's a dead giveaway. You don't need it on the wrapper. But sometimes you have milchik cake. They pour it in milk. You can't tell that it's milchik. So my Soloveitchik thought that that's also the classical poskim in Yeridei assume that it's mutter. And they say the reason why is because the practice used to be that they would always, the Europeans, there are no more Europeans around. The Europeans all died out, hardly any Europeans left. But the old Europeans, they used to eat bread throughout the meal. They would nibble bread when they had the soup, when they had the entree, when they had everything they ate with it. The kugel, they wouldn't eat with bread. Okay, that's nahama benahama. You don't eat bread with a kugel, but you eat with chicken, you eat with fish, everything they would eat together with bread. But the cake at the end of the meal, that you don't eat with bread. The cake you don't eat with cheese, or the cake you don't eat with chicken. Little children will sometimes do it. They'll hold the chicken in their mouth for an hour, and then they'll eat the cake, and then they'll be swallowing the cake with the chicken together. So if the cake is milchig and the chicken is fleshig, then they'll be eating basa b'cholim at the same time. But adults never do like that. Adults, they eat the cake after the meal is all over. So even if the cake will be milchig, you never eat the cake together with the flesh. The adults never do that. The children sometimes do. The adults never do. Aye, but you'll be eating milchig cake within 6 hours after having the chicken. So that's only a minig. That's not a real din. So that you're not worried about. So that's what the classical poskim, the Pischei Tshuva quotes that this iser, the end of Siman Tzadik Zayin, this din that you're not allowed to make melachik bread, doesn't apply to cake because the common practice by adults is you never eat the cake together with the chicken. So there's never a concern that you're gonna eat the melachik cake with the chicken. You'll eat it right after the meal you had. Fleshiks, and you may by mistake have the milchi cake within 6 hours. You will forget that it's milchi. You won't realize that it's milchi. So the world doesn't come to an end. That's not such a great tragedy. But that's what he says in Everasid. So it says you're not allowed to have milchi bread, and if you do, it's awesome. Mishum hergalav there. Kayetze, but similarly, you're not allowed to make fleshik bread, and if you do, it's awesome. Kayetze, but ain't toshim a satana ba'alya. You're not allowed to shmir shmaltz. Alya is the fatty tail. The fatty tail, in some karbonis, you had to burn the alya on the mizbeach. It's part of the chelev. But by us, it doesn't, even though you burn it on the mizbeach, but it doesn't have an isa chelev. It doesn't have an isa chelev. Not everything that was burnt on the mizbeach as emurim has an isa chelev. The other way you don't have, there's nothing that has an isa chelev. You can't have an isa chelev on something that was not burnt on the mizbeach, but not everything that was burnt on the mizbeach, the alya was burnt on the mizbeach in a kebes, but it's mutar b'achila lahedya. It's not an Issa Chela. So it says you're not allowed to take an alya that's all fatty and smear the fat on the bottom of the oven. In Toshana Satana Balya, to smear it with schmaltz, and then you bake the bread on top. You're not allowed to do the Vim Toshan. If you did Kala Paskula Asura, then the bread is fleshig, so you're not allowed to eat fleshig bread. Acha Yasika Satanur, unless you do Libun. If you do Libun, then it helps, even though the Tanur is a Tanur Shel Cheres. If you do Libun, it helps. So the Gemara says, Hahusa Katanur, Miha. But if you did do Libun, Shari, then it is Mutta. So it's a Tiyufta, the Rabba Barah, he lied to Tiyufta. He's wrong. He's absolutely wrong. He said before, Utanur Toch Batichaya, they smeared the floor of the Tanur with schmaltz. And Rabbi Bar Eloi said, you're not allowed to eat the bread, li'olam. There's no way to fix it. Well, why is li'olam? Clean out the tanner and do libun. That will solve the problem. So the Gemara said, Tiyufta, he's wrong. So we're going to get to it soon. So the Gemara says, Omele Rabbeinu Rabashi, he has to kash him. Rabbeinu Rabashi were the last generation of Amoraim. That's what the Gemara says in Bava Metzi. Rabbeinu Rabashi, soifai roa. That's the end of the Seder, of the Masorah, of the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Rambam and the Hakdamah to the Mishnah Torah writes 40 generations, 1, 2, 3, all the way to number 40. The first generation is Yeshua ben Nun. Moshe Rabbeinu gave Moshe Masa Torah to Yeshua. Then Yeshua gave it. He has step by step each person. And number 40 is Rabbeinu Rabashi. And that's where it stops, because that's what we assume. That's what Moshe Soloveitchik explained, that it would appear that even though Rabbi Yudah Anasi edited the Mishnayos, but they were still being recited Baal Peh. They didn't have the heter to write down the Mishnayos and to learn Mitel Chaksav till the days of Rabbeinu Rabashi. So during their lifetime, they gave the heter to write down. They were the ones who completed the Talmud Bavli, but the Talmud Bavli wasn't written down until later generations, quite a few generations later, the days of the Gaonim. During the lifetime of Rabbeinu Rabashi, they wrote down the Mishnayos, and from that time on, instead of saying it Baal Peh, they used to teach it Mitoch Haksav. So Al Pidin, that's a lower level of Chachmei HaMasor. Chachmei HaMasor means those who have the tradition of the Torah Shebaal Peh from earlier generations. So from the days of Yeshua ben Nun till the days of Rabbeinu Rabashi, Al Pidin, everybody has the same status as Chachmei HaMasor. Some are much more learned than the others. Some are much more reliable than the others. But Al Pidin, it's one level of Chachmei HaMasor. And after the days of Rabbeinu Rabashi, Al Pidin, there's still Masorah now. And now everything is available in print. The Gemara with the Mishnayos, with the Shulchan Aruch, everything is available, but still, there's still a Masorah, how to understand everything, which opinions to accept and which to reject. Okay, just because you find someone said something, it doesn't mean that you can paskin like that. People look on the internet and they find that somebody wrote something. So, Shai, that's the din. Someone's looking for a kula. So they found that on the internet, somebody says, Lahaka. That's not right. We don't always paskin like any Rabbi Tom, Dick, and Harry, who has maybe they're not even entitled to an opinion. Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan gave a haskama to the Darkei Tshuva. Darkei Tshuva was by the Munkach's father. The Minchas Aluza was the Munkach, and his father did the work on most of the Darkei Tshuva. Darkei Tshuva is a likut of all the Achrayim on Yerideh. On a big chunks of Yerideh. So the father passed away, so he only did the beginning of Yerideh, but he didn't do Hilchas Nida Mikvos. That was done by the son, by the Minchas Aluza. Minchas Aluza was the main anti-Zionist voice in Hungary, and he used to scream so much against cursing all the Zionists from the pulpit, so all the Hungarian rabbis were afraid to become Zionists because he was always cursing everybody. So the Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan was the big Paisik in that time, over 100 years ago. He died the late 1800s, and he gave Haskama to the Darkei Tshuva. Then they say, after it was printed, he had Charata. Why he gave Haskama? Rabbi Rudiman said he heard this from Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, that he had Charata, why he gave Haskama, because he quotes all the different opinions, Lahaka Lahachmer, as if everybody is entitled to the same vote. They're not all the same vote. Some of these poskim are entitled to 100 votes, and the other one's entitled to a half a vote. They're not all the same. So he felt bad that it didn't turn out the way he thought it was going to be. That's the problem with the internet. They quote whoever said anything, so they appear on the internet. Sometimes they're crackpots. Sometimes that's a direct mishugoyim. Anyway, So the Gemara asked that Kasha, Amalei Rabbi and Rabbi Ashi, that's the last generation of Amoraim. And Rab was the first generation of Amoraim. So he asked him a Kasha, V'chim yachad itoys of Rabba barahiloi, we just proof in the Braisa that Libun does help on the Tanur. Amai Kamarab Kederes Pesel Hishavru, why don't you just do Libun on the Kederes? Why does he say, there's no way to make a Kasha? And for the Gemara, Amalei, so Rav Ashi answers, Ravina, awesome Tanur Shal Matech, Asoch B'Gederes Shal Cheres. Here we're talking the Tanur that you made with Fleshik or Milchik is Mateches. So you can do Hagola, and Mateches Hagola helps. So that's why it says, Achiyusa Katanur, Ahusa Katan is Mutte. It says Hesik. Yeah, that's because Husak is Libun, that's not Hagola. The answer is, it's a terabola over here. It's a bli of fleshiks. It's not a bli of treifas. Bli of fleshiks. So Rabbi Kivega writes in Yeridaya that that's a terabola. So when you want to convert a fleshik kli to make it part of it, you never need libun because a terabola. All you need is hagola. So why is over here? What is that? Chiyasika satana. Why do you say you need libun? The answer is because you're going to have schmaltz on the surface, so you gotta, and it's hard to get the schmaltz off because it's sticky. Today they have very strong detergents that can remove all of the schmaltz. Sometimes you have a lot of schmaltz, and it's hard to, even with detergents, to get it off. The people in hashgacha business and the kashrus business, sometimes it's very hard to get the accumulated treifa schmaltz off that's been there all year long. When a hotel wants to make kosher lePesach, so they have all the chametz and all the treifas from all year long. So sometimes it's very hard to get it off. So, but there are detergents that can get it off. So in the days of the Gemara, the way to get it off would be by torching it. So it's not that you need husa katana to make it kosher. You need to burn off the bien on the surface. So there we say that you don't need libun chomer. Libun chomer is that it has to be 950 degrees. Libun Kal is enough. How much is Libun Kal? The Libun Kal is a little less than 500 degrees. That's what we call it in the Gemara, Kash Nisraf. If you would have a piece of paper, you have a piece of straw, and you would take this straw, Kash is a piece of straw, piece of paper, you put it on the piece of metal. The metal is so hot that the paper will start to burn. How high degree temperature do you need for paper to burn? So there's a book that's, I forgot the name of the book, where they write about book burning. In different periods in history, different people would burn books. So the Bali Ataisis burned the Sfarim of the Rambam. They thought that the Rambam was an Apikurus because he said God doesn't have a body. They thought that God does have a body. So they burned the Sifri HaRambam. And then the same square in Paris, where the Jews burnt the Sifri HaRambam, a couple of years later, the Goyim burnt wagons full of Talmud Bavli. And then the Rabbanim realized it's their own stupid fault. They showed the Goyim that whatever someone says apikursus, it burned the books. So the Goyim felt the whole Jewish religion is apikursus because it's against Oso Ish, it's against the Yoshke. And they were all Catholics there, from a Catholic. So they burnt the Talmud. So in different times here in America, there are different times that the communities would burn books. So there's a book about that. The title of the book, I think, is 488 degrees temperature, something like that. And that's the degree of heat that you need for paper to burn. So that's called kash, whatever that, it's a little less than 500 degrees. So that's what people used to say years ago, that if you turn on the oven to the highest degree temperature, that's good enough for Libun Kal. Why? Because all the ovens in America used to go up to 500 degrees temperature for baking cakes, or for baking challahs, or for baking chickens. So all the ovens went to 500 degrees, and you don't need 500 degrees. Libun Kal is a little less than 500 degrees. But if you want to have Libun Chamor, Libun Chamor is 950 degrees. So that's not, that you can't reach with the oven, that you need a blowtorch, you need something more for that. So the Gemara says over here, Achiyasika Satanur, you have a fleshik tani, you want to make it parva, strictly speaking, Hagola would be enough because it's a terabola. That's what Rabbi Kivega writes. The Shach writes not so. In the second chelik, you're a day, the beginning of the second chelik, there's a simon about Hagola in Libun. So the Shach writes there, if you have a fleshig broiler and you want to make it parvi, you need libun, because it was balea yideha esh. So Rabbi Kivege writes over there, why do you need libun? It's a terabala. The Gemara said, a terabala, there was machlokes habayvarov on the last Amud Aleph and Masechus Avodah Zarah. The Gemara had this theory between the two psukim. How come in Parshas Tzav, it says only Mariko Shtifa, never says a word about libun? Why don't you say, if you broil the chatos on a metal broiler, that you need libun? It just says Hagola. And in Geulei Klei Midyan, at the end of Chumash Bamidbar, when it says the Jews won the war against the Midyan, and they had a kasher, all the tray for pots and pans, it said some of them need libun, some of them needed Hagola. How come in Parshas Tzav doesn't say libun? So Abayi, that was the Machlokes Abayi v'Rava. What's the teretz on the Stiras HaPsukim? So Abayi said, Yagad Olav Reya, Bo Zeb Elim El Alzeh. Once you learn Parshas Masei, and it says that Klei Midyon, you sometimes need Libun, sometimes it's Hagola. So the same applies in Parshas Tzav, when you have the Korban Chatos was either broiled or cooked in a pot. So sometimes you need Libun, sometimes Hagola. We don't pass like Abayi. It's Machlokes Abayi v'Rava. It's not the Yalkigam. It's not one of the six cases where we paskin like Abayi. So we paskin like Rav, and Rav says, whenever it's a terabola, then Hagola is enough. So that's Rabbi Kivega Tainus. Why does the Shach say that you need Libun? You don't need Libun, Hagola is enough. So that's what Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, and Doruch HaShulchan writes, we follow Rabbi Kivega on this. We assume, and that's what all the recent paskin write like that we assume that you don't really need Libun. If you have fleshig broiler, Hagola will be enough. But sometimes Hagola won't be enough to get off the bien. There's going to be bien stuck on the surface. So for that, you're going to need libun. So that's what the Gemara said on the second line from the top. Achayaseke satanu. You need at least libun kal to burn off all the bien. So the Gemara asks, since we have rejected Rabba Barahi Loi, and we hold that what? That you can, the Bryce said the Fair, Shachiasika Satanur. So why did Rav say that the Kderis Pesach Hishav, you have to throw them in the garbage? Why? Why don't you just Kashav Olakelim after Pesach is over? Kashav Olacham is the Kekelim. So the Gemara says the answer is because Kderis Hashalcheris and you can't do Hagola. And for the Gemara, Amalei, so Ravashi answers Ravina, Hosam Tana Shal Mateches, Abacha Bekderis Hashalcheris. You can't kasher it. Then the Gemara backside, we by saying mahab mahab shalcheres. No, the tana shalcheres, you can't do libun. That was the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Tzadik Vav that Taisus quotes, and that this Gemara, we by saying mahab mahab shalcheres, you can do libun on a klicheres. Only hagol is no good, but libun is good. However, zeh seikem evnim, zeh seikem ibachutz. If this container, you have kederi shel chometz. All year long, I have pots and pans. So usually I leave the fire on the, I have a pot, a kederi shel cheres, and it sits on top of the burner. So the fire is on the outside. So if it has a bli of chometz on the inside, now I'm going to only have the fire on the outside. So that's not enough. You need libun. You have to have libun on the inside. So the Gemara says, so do libun on the inside. You always put logs inside the tanur. So if you have a chametz dikke, if you have a fleshig tanur that has schmaltz on the floor, so put logs inside. You do a good job. You burn it out, and all you need is a libun kal to burn out the bien, and all you need is libun kal to make the tanur part of it because it's a terabola. However, v'zeh haseikem ibachutz, but the kederish al cheres. They always put on top of the burners, and the fire is on the outside. But it had a bli of chametz from the inside. So fire on the outside is not enough to do a libun on the inside. So put burning hot logs inside the pots. After Pesach is over, do a hagola, do a libun on the pots. Hagola doesn't help. Hagola doesn't help on klicheres. So use libun. Do hasek mefnim. Mora says, no, we're afraid. We're afraid he may not do a good job of doing the libun. He's afraid that the clay cheres are very fragile. And if you're going to have it too hot, it's going to crack. The whole kli will crack. A lot of times, if you have a trefa kli, a trefa pot, cheres, and hagola doesn't help, but libun will help. So if you put in a self-cleaning oven, that'll be libun. Self-cleaning oven, that'll be a good libun. But a lot of times, it'll crack. The whole pot will get ruined, so it doesn't help. So the Gemara says, we don't frag the Gemara hachanami levelei hasakami bifnim. We have the kederis shel chametz. So put the burning hot logs inside the kederis, and it'll do a libun. It'll do a good job, even though it's a klicheris. Libun does help. And for the Gemara, we're afraid chayis alei, the owner of the pot will have rachmanis. Chayis alei mishum depoke. He'll be afraid that the klicheris are so fragile they can crack. They probably will crack. So therefore, you can't rely on doing a libun. Hilkach. Well, what happens if it's a klicheris and there's nothing to be concerned about? Let's say you take a klicheris and you put it in a self-cleaning oven. A self-cleaning oven, the door locks and it's on for an hour or so. And you can't do anything. During the hour, you can't do anything. So you can't say dil machai saleh. The Darkei Tshuva quotes that. If you have a tray for klicheris and you're afraid dil machai saleh, but you put it inside the oven and you lock the door. So there is no dil machai saleh. So that's what the Gemara says, Hilkach. Therefore, whenever there's no concern of Dilma Chayisalei, Hai Kuvya, if you have a klicheres, that's treif, has sekami bachutsu, the osa, you can't do the libun by leaving it the fire on from the outside. However, the imalia gumre, but if you fill it up with burning hot coals, gumre are burning hot coals, shapadami, then you see he's not Chayisalei. But if you're not gonna fill it up with coals, you're gonna put some burning hot logs inside, so we're afraid he's gonna be afraid that it's gonna crack and he may not do a good job. But if you put it in a self-cleaning oven, that the Darkei Tshuva said that's okay. That's like Malya Gumri Shabbadami. So let's continue the Imar. Amale Rabin Le Rabashi, Hanin Sakine de Pischa Heche Abdin Elu. What do you do? They didn't have separate forks and knives or pesach and separate for you long. They took the chametz for many generations. The Jews did this. They had two separate sets fleishig and milch, but they didn't have four sets. They didn't have separate fleishig and milch for pesach. They would kasher everything for pesach. So he says, what do you do with the chametz and knives? How do you prepare them for pesach? Heche abdin luhu. Amalei saravina saravashi answers. Oh, I buy brand new ones. I buy brand new. I'm like, Tenach Mar de Efsha, you're a rich man. You can afford to buy separate, like we have, separate for fleshig and milching for yon, separate fleshig and milching for Pesach. I'm like, Tenach Mar de Efsha, you're a rich man, you can afford it. The Lo Efsha, one who can't afford it, Maya, what should he do when it comes Pesach? Well, he can't afford to buy a whole two sets of fleshig knives. Fleshig milch, amalei, Sir Ravashi answers, no, I didn't mean to say that I buy brand new ones. Anoke ein chadetel kamina. What I meant to say was, I kasher it, I do libun, and when you do libun, it's like a panim chadoshes ba'olakan, like brand new. What does he do? Katayu bistina. The handle of the knife is wooden. So if he's going to put the knife in a self-cleaning oven, if you're going to put a knife in a self-cleaning oven with a wooden handle, after the hour is up, the handle will be a pile of ashes. You won't have any wooden handle left. The whole thing will be burnt to ashes. So he says, this is what I did. Kataya betino. I would put cement around the wooden handle because I plan to do libun on the blade of the knife. Ufarzalayu, and the barzel of the knife that cuts binura. I do a libun on the knife and I put the cement around the wooden handle so it shouldn't get burnt. And then, after I do the libun on the metal, on the sharp part, then I remove the cement from the handle. And then I'm afraid that maybe the wooden handle was balea chometz, but if I'm going to leave the handle exposed, the wooden handle exposed when I'm doing the libun on the metal cutting part, so then the wooden handle is going to burn. So he covers over the handle with cement, and then he cracks off, he removes all the cement, and he does hagola on the wooden handle. So that was Rabashi's practice. He would do libun on the knife and hagola on the handle. Do we paskan like him? So the Gemara says, no, we don't. You don't need Nura. You don't need Libun for the knife. It's enough burning hot water. Roischem. Mala Resicha. Roischem means 212. Anything above 195, that's also called Roischem, will be Kli Rishon. Right. If the Belia was Ayadei Kli Rishon, then you can't do the Hagola with a Kli Sheni. If the Belia was Ayadei Kli Sheni, then you do Hagola with Kli Sheni. Okay. That's what's in Shulchan Aruch. That's the question. The Gemara says in Hilcha Shabbos, there's a Malacha of Bishul. So the Gemara says, Kli Sheni Einem Avashel. Lisheni means, let's say you have a kettle of water on the fire. So the water in the kettle has a status of Kli Rishon. Even if they take the kettle off from the fire and there's no fire now, I'm going to put some raw food into that kettle of water, even though it's not Agabi Eish. So we're concerned that Kli Rishon is Mevashel even if it's not Agabi Eish. But then if I pour water from the kettle into a cup, so then the water in the cup now has a status of Kli Sheni. So then it's an Hilcha Shabbos. The same thing for basam b'chalav d'araisa. Basam b'chalav d'araisa is only derech bishul asur Torah. If you mix milk with meat together, but you didn't cook them together, that's only basam b'chalav d'rabbanan. Basam b'chalav d'rabbanan is muta b'hano. It's only asa b'achila, muta b'hano, muta b'bishul. Basam b'chalav d'araisa is also all three. Asa b'bishul, asa b'achila, asa b'hano. Basa b'chol d'rabban is only asa b'achila. Muta b'bishul, muta to cook it together. Let's say chicken and butter. I'm a chef in the army. I'm a chef in a trefa restaurant. And I'm cooking meat with butter. So meat with butter is an issa d'raisa to cook even if goyim are going to eat it. But if you're only doing chicken and butter, that's permissible. But chicken and butter is only basa b'chol d'rabban. The Mishnah says in the end of Perikol Abasa, Basa b'chol d'rabban is only asa b'achila. It's muta b'bishul and muta b'hano. So the Gemara says in the first daf in Perikol Abasa that just like the din is klisheni, it's not mevashel for Hilcha Shabbos for Malachas Bishul. So klisheni is not mevashel to make basa b'chol d'raisa. It'll make basa b'chol d'rabbanan. Okay, if you have the meat and the milk together, even without any bishul at all, it'll also be basa b'chol d'rabbanan. But it won't be basa b'chol d'raisa. It'll be muta to do it. Mutter to make it, and mutter to sell it. Mutter to get it. It'll only be also b'achila. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, if you have a chomis dika kli, all the dinim of Hagola appear in Hilchas Pesach. Then in Yoridei it says, look in Hilchas Pesach, we explained all the dinim of Hagola. So it says in Hilchas Pesach, that if you have a chomis dika kli that was balea b'kli vishan, then you need Hagola and a kli vishan. If it was balea b'kli shenin, then you need Hagola and a kli shenin. So that's the question, do you need Hagola at all? Maybe I should say, Klisheni Eina Mevashel. So just like it's Eina Mevashel, maybe I can ignore the Bliya. If I have a Bliya, let's say I poured Kosher Lepesa Dika soup in a bowl, and the soup is now Kosher Lepesach, and it's still burning hot, and then I put some macaroni in, I put some soup nuts in, I put some Chametz Dika soup nuts in. So the question is, are the chametz dika soup nuts going to be nivla into the bowl? Because the bowl is only hot to the extent of a klisheni. So just like klisheni is enem avashel, not for Hilcha Shabbos, not for bas mechal of deraisa, maybe klisheni also, the blia should be discounted. Maybe I should ignore the fact that it's balea. So that's a big machlokes. So we paskan in Yerideya, that just like Tosef Shita, machlokes Tosef in the Rambat. So Taisa holds just like Klisheni is not Mevashel, Al Pidin, there's no Din Abishel for Shabbos or for Basel B'chol of Deraisa. So the Bliyas, the common Klisheni, also you have a right to ignore. The Ramban argues that's ridiculous. For Bliyas, you don't need Dafka Bishel. The Halacha says, Kovash is Kemevushel. Maliach is Keresech. If you soak meat, let's say trefa meat in milk for 24 hours, so it'll be Kovash Kemevushel. And there's no bishul at all. Kovish makes a bliya. So you see, you don't even need, bishul doesn't have to be, a bliya doesn't need bishul in order to be a balua. So you can have the bishul even in a klisheni, why not? So lechatrile, the Pizchei Tshuva quotes a Chasam Sefer, lechatrile should really be choshish for the Ramban Shita, that even a klisheni is also mavliya maflit. Because a bliya and a klisheni, the liquid there is burning hot, it's yatzalet is by. But because it's klisheni, so it's not mevashel, all right. But still, you should say there is a bliya. But Mikra Din, we really pass on like this, that a klisheni, just like it's not mevashel, it's not considered dishel, so hu adinami, the blias can be ignored. But in Hilchas Pesach, that's what it says. If you have a soup bowl that was only balea chametz, because all the soup that I put in always in this bowl was always kosher le Pesach soup, but I would throw in challah, I would throw in soup nuts that were chametz thick, but the whole bli of chametz was only al yedei klisheni. The soup is already poured from the pot, from a ladle. They poured it into the soup bowl, and then I put in the soup nuts. So the bli was only any klisheni. So strictly speaking, mikra din, you don't really have to kasher it at all, because we hold klisheni doesn't, the bli is donas. But l'chatchila, we recommend that you should be choshish for the Ramban, when it won't be too big of a hefset, won't be too great a hefset. Ramban holds that the blias, even you don't need bishul at all. If kovashis came of bishul, if something is soaking for 24 hours, they say you don't need bishul. So how can klisheni be inferior to a kovash came of bishul? Maliach kiresech. Maliach kiresech is like this. I have treifa meat and non-kosher meat. Nevela meat. Nevela meat are treifa meat. Then I have kosher meat. And then I want to salt all the meat to remove all of the blood. So I put the nevela meat together with the kosher meat, and I pour a lot of salt on to remove the dam. So if you put in a lot of salt, that's called maliach kereser. That makes the bli, even though everything is room temperature, nothing is burning hot at all. That's the din, maliach kereser. If you put in so much salt that it's not edible now, like when you salt meat, you pour out a lot of salt. Or the same thing if you have kosher fish with non-kosher fish laying on top of each other. So there's no bliya, but then you pour out a lot of salt to preserve the fish. So if you pour out a lot of so much salt that it's not edible the way it is, if you just have a few drops of salt, like people put a little salt into their soup, that's not called maliach kereser. But if you pour in so much salt that it's ein anecha machmas malchoy, then you say maliach kereser. So there you have two examples of a bliya where it's a bliya b'tzaynin, maliach kereser and kavish kemevushal. That's the Ramban's argument. You see that you don't need bishul to have a bliya that asses by basa b'chalav. It only asses menatara derech bishul, but by all other isurim it asses even shalav derech bishul. Well, lech keresech and kavish kemivushul would be a din deraisa. So what denami if there's a bliya from a klisheni? Anyway, so that's the gemara. Hilchasa, what's the halacha? Idiviri beraischen ubi klibishon. You don't have to have liban on the knife. So that's what the top tesis discusses. But there is a tosefta that says beferish, and the Gemara Chulin also, that if you have a treif knife, you have to do liban. So how can the Gemara over here say you have a treif knife, all you need is hagola? It contradicts the other sources. So tesis gives two answers. So the first answer is it depends what you do with the treif knife. If the treif knife became treif because someone had non-kosher meat or chicken burning hot on his plate, and he was cutting the non-kosher meat or the chicken with a knife. So that's not a bli al gabi ho'esh. Even though there's no mitzvos ha'mayim there, there's no liquid involved in the bliya, but you don't need libum because there is no fire over there. The piece of meat or the piece of chicken was sitting on the fire before, but now it's no longer al gabi ho'esh. So when I'm cutting with the knife, since there's no esh right now, it's toldos esh. The meat or the chicken is still burning hot because it was sitting on the fire. That's called toldos esh. So if it's not agabi ho'esh when I cut it with the knife, then hagola would be enough for the knife. You wouldn't need libum. But sometimes you have big knives that you use to broil meat or chicken. You have a rotisserie and you have long knives and you hold the meat on top of the knife and it's treif of meat. So the treifus is balua into the knife, al yedei ho'esh, al gabi ho'esh. So then you need libun. That's the first answer that Tosi says. Sometimes knives need libun, sometimes lives need hagola. If it's never used al gabi ho'esh, it's only used on the plate, so then if no esh right now, then you never need libun. Hagola is enough. But if it's sometimes used for treifus, al gabi ho'esh mamish, Then you're going to need libum. That's the first answer that Tosfos says. Then Tosfos gives another answer, afilu im timtzi loyma, that you have knives that you use mamish al gabi ho'esh, and if it would have been treifus, regular treifus chazer, you would have needed Libun. But if it's only Chametz, Chametz is Hetera Bola. And Rabbi said on the last Amud Aleph and Masechus Abedizam, and Eretz Hetera Bola, you don't need the Libun. Hagola is enough. So for Pesach, you never need Libun. Hagola is always enough, provided that you're doing the Hagola before Chatzos on Erev Pesach. But if it's already Chatzos or an hour before Chatzos, it's already Zman Yisurah. So then it's Yisurah Bola. So then you can't do Hagola. Then you already need Libun. So that's the answer, the second answer. That's the Odia Shalachali, Ben Terabola, Ben Yisurah Bola. Second answer, that's the Rabbein Tam. And the Ran on our Gemara quotes the Ramban who disagrees and he says, no, a Terabola is, let's say, the pot was Balea, the Korban Chatos, at a time that it was still Mutter. It was Balea when it wasn't yet nicer. Tomorrow morning it'll become, if you bring the chatas today, it becomes nicer tomorrow morning. It's not yet nicer when it was balei. And I'm going to do the hagala before it becomes nicer. Or let's say I have a fleshig, broiler. So the fleshig broiler is fleshig, it's not treif. I'm going to do the hagala before I want to use it for cheese sandwiches. So then once it did hagala on a kli that needed libun, all that's left is a tam kolush. And now I can use it for cheese, because even though the cheese and the meat will join together, but it's only a tam kolish of the meat. So anisa can't be chal on a tam kolish. Yeah, so that's the Rabbeinu Tam's chiddush. So the Ramban holds that that's only hetera bala, because it's not yet basa b'cholim, it's not yet noiser. But chametz all year long is called nasa, chametz shmai olav. That's not called hetera bala. It's called yisura bala, because the shem chametz was already chal on it. It already was chametz, even though it's not Pesach yet. It already was Shem chametz is all year long. Chametz Shmai Olav all year long. Yeah. Then the Gemara has a discussion. Bo minei mi mereima. They ask the question of mereima. Well, they ask, "Hani mani de kunya ma'ulishdan mushib behu bepiska." I have chametz dikekelim all year long. It's a kli cheres, and it's mitzupa ba'avor. Rashi says avor is lead, so it has a lot of times you have two layers. You have a layer of cheres, and then you have the outer layer inside and outside of the kli is lead. Is that balea? Is it balea or not? Not all metals are balea. Let's say now, that's what they claim, that stainless steel is balea less than glass. And glass is a machlex and mechaber and the ramah, whether you have to be concerned about the bleas. Svardim amekel, like the mechaber, that is not balea at all. And Ashkenazim amachmer, that it is. But even the Ashkenazim amachmer on glass, maybe since stainless steel is even balea less than glass, they experimented and they ascertained that it's balea less than glass. Mamisha mashu, the mashu. So maybe that even the Ramos should be making. So that's what we said. We have to get all the Rabbonim from all the kashrus organizations of the world to join together to take a position on that. It's not right for one person. One rabbi in Eretz Yisrael put out Svarim on Halacha. So he decided, he paskan, didn't consult with that, but he decided stainless steel, treifa kelim, you don't have to kash because it's not balei at all. That's not right. You have to get a consensus of Rabbonim. You can't just paskan on your own. So the Gemara has the shaila whether these kelim are balea. It's kli cheres, but it's mitzupa ba'avor with lead on the outside. Is it balea? Malush tamush bu v'pischa. If it's yiroka, if it's what yiroka means, yorek kekarsi in Gemara language means green. Karsi is a vegetable that people eat, but yorek alone means brown or yellow. Esrik hayorek. Esrik hayorek means brown or yellow. That's what color the esrog is supposed to be. Not supposed to be yorek kekarsi. Not supposed to be green. If it's green esrog that's green, the Gemara says is pasul. But if it's yorek, that's what the color is supposed. Yorek in modern Hebrew means green, but in Talmudic Hebrew, yorek means brown or yellow. Dama yorek. The Gemara has a shaila. Anisha has a riyas dama nida. So the Gemara learns that from a pasuk that dama nida only has a din of dam if it's odam kadam, if it's red. What if it's dam hayorek? What if it's brown or yellow? So that's machlekes. Akavi ben Mahalal used to be machmer, and he was outvoted. All the chachamim held not so. But it doesn't mean green dam. One professor in the yeshiva once gave a whole lecture. How is it possible? What are they talking about dam hayorek? that there's green dam. So he gave a whole explanation of how it's possible. So he told Rabbi Soloveitchik about the election. So he said, that's ridiculous. Dam Hayark does mean green dam. It means brown or yellow. There are always excretions from that part of the female body. There's always brown and yellow stuff. That's not dam. Dam is only if it's red. But it doesn't mean green. No such thing as green blood. So the Gemara has a shaila. Is this, are these kelim boleh? So he says, Yeroika, if it's brown or yellow, the boilach, the body asiri, that we know is balea. The material is such that is balea. Ki the boilach, uchmi v'chiri. Chiri means white and uchmi means black. If it's black or white and it's coated on the outside with lead, that's a shayla. Is it balea or not? Maybe it's not balea. Ve'chadis be'katufni, and if it has cracks in the surface, for sure it's boleh. The shada that I have is, the ibay is, what if it's smooth? Smooth, and it's white or black, earthenware, cheres, but it's coated with, lead on the outside, is it boleh? On Malay, Sir Avashi answers, I looked at it many times. Chazina luhud midaisi. I know that if you put water in the inside, it'll sweat on the outside. So the fact that it sweats on the outside shows that it has a bli and it goes through and through. The water from inside goes through and through, it goes outside. And since it's a klicheres, a tarir a klicheres, that hagola doesn't help. So that's where Ravashi Amalei, so Ravashi answers Rabina, Chazina luhu, I looked at these kelim, the clay kunya, the midaisi, that they sweat on the outside, alma bali, that's an indication that they are balea through and through. The water from the inside that's held in the kli goes through and through. They are siri, v'hator, heid al-klecherish, and yetzi midei dofi li'olam. You can't do hagola. Can't do hagola. Freg di gemore, umayshno le'inyan yai nesach, but how come we're mekel, with respect to the same kelim, we're mekel by yai nesach? The dorish mereimar, they ask the same person, mereimar. We have before bomene me'ameimar. It's a meimar, so the Bach corrects it. It's meremar, otherwise there wouldn't be any kasha. So they ask the Maishno, why is meremar is machmer for Pesach, but is mekel for stam yenim? Mashin lin yai nesach doesn't mean yai nesach, it means stam yenim. Yai nesach means they put it for avodah zarah. It means Maishno lin yai nesach is only the rabbanon. The dorish meremar gave a public psak money de kunya. If you have such containers, such barrels that are made from cheres, and they're coated with lead, and they contain the wine. Bein uchma, bein chivi, bein yiroki, whether it's brown or yellow or white, chivi is white or black. Shari, the ro mutter. What do you mean the ro mutter? It's the Gemara says that it's only a blia if they contain wine. If it's a container, a barrel, money de kunya. If it's containers that hold wine for more than sometimes you hold the wine for more than 24 hours, even if you happen to hold the wine less than 24 hours, that's a chumra midirabbana. If the nature of the container, nature of the barrels is such that normally you hold wine there for 24 hours, so you say that it has a blia. But because the blia is only bitzainen, the wine is at room temperature, it's not hot, the blia is bitzainen. So therefore we say that milavir gimel yamim is good enough. If you soak it for 72 hours, switching the water every 24 hours, then it's okay. So yes, how come for Pesach, he said it's no good, you can't kasher. And for stam yenim, you make l'chitei miyay nesach derabonim. Doesn't mean yay nesach. Real yay nesach, the Rambam says, yeloike minatera. Yay nesach is an isa deraisa, tikrubis avodizar. It means stam yenim. Stam yenim. Sometimes there'll be a chashash nisuch midirabonon, if he's a nochri who's sometimes involved in Avodah Zarah. And the Bali HaTosfos say that most of the nochri, that was the last part of the big Tosfos on Amud Aleph, that the stam yenim is manazet. Tosfos says, Mikra Edin is really muta b'hanoah, and therefore it's b'shishim. It's not going to be b'mashu. Rabbi Kevega says, what in the world is the Tosfos talking about? So they all point out, it's the Tosfos and the other Masechtos explain it. It's not a kash. It says in Yeridah like that. If the nochri is not boki, he never does nisach. In the churches, the galach does the nisach hayayin, but the balabatim never do it. So if he's a nochi, he's not boki, b'tiv, avodah zarah, misham sheho, then stamyena will not be asabano. So that's what they say. Stamyena is manazeh, that not the galochim handled it. The balabatim, the goyish balabatim handled it, and it's only an isa de rabbanon. So that's only mishum ben aseh. It won't be also because of chashash nisach. So it'll be mutabahano, it'll be also bachila, like pasakam and bishalakam. It's also because of chashash chasnas, it's only also bachila. So the stamyenim, that's only also because of chasnas, strictly speaking, is mutabahano. We are machmer, the asabahano, unless behefsid merubah. Behefsid merubah, we revert back to the ikaradin, that it's really mutabahano. Yeah. That's all in Yeridei. That's what they all pray. Rashash and others point out. Why did Rabbi Kevegi get so upset over here? So the Farish did in Yeridei. That Bismana said, the Stamyenim is Mutabahanoa, and it's Bishishim. It's not the Mashub. So Rabbi Kevegi forgot all of the Dinim. Remember when I was a student in the Yeshiva, there used to be a European fellow. He never got married. He went crazy because of the war. Before the war, he used to learn in different yeshivas. Then because of the war, he never became, he was crazy, he never became normal. So he used to float around from one yeshiva to the other. He used to spend 2 days in YU, 2 days in Torah Vadas, 2 days in Chaim Berlin. Then he'd go out of town. I'm a shugana. So people had rachmanis. He used to give him food, money, and everything. So he used to comment on this. How can Rabbi Kevege write such a kasha? It's a beferish adin in Yoridei. Rabbi Kevege forgot. On this, Rabbi Kevege used to say, Hanomet Aleph. Takapela. So the Gemara says, why is it that the same Meremer was Mekel Lagabi Stamyenim and he's Machma Lagabi Chometz? V'chitemu, you tell me. Yai Nesach means Stamyenim is only the Rabbanon. Chometz is a Din Deraisa. So you're more Mekel and Dinim, the Rabbanon. No, you're Mekel if you have a Suffolk. Suffolk, the Rabbanon, the Kula. But here there's no Sfekis. We should say, called the Tikkun Rabbanon, Kain Deraisa. Tikkun, the Dinim should be the same. Why does he distinguish? And for the Gemara, so the answer to explain Meremer's position, Omalei, if this Tam Yenim is put in the barrels, it's all Bitzoinen. Nothing is Yatzal lettuce. So whenever it has a Blia Bitzoinen, then you can kasher it. But if it's Tash, but here, all year long, the Kederis, they cooked Chometz in them. So the Kederis are Balea. It's a Klicheris that has Avar on the outside. So it's Balea. So the Avar is metal. So Hagola will help on the metal, but Hagola is not going to help on the cheres on the bottom. So that's what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara says. Zet hashmisha deicham and zet hashmisha deitzayin. Whenever it's a bliya betzayin, like this tamyenim is a bliya betzayin, so then milavir gimel yamim helps. But if it's a bliya bechamin, then the milavir is not going to help, and then you'll have to do Hagola, and Hagola doesn't help because it's a kli cheres. Hagola doesn't help. Okay, we still have a little Gemara left. We let it tomorrow. Maybe we'll stop now. We let it tomorrow. I'd like to finish till the Mishnah, but then we have to do the Tosfos and the Aman Aleph. There's some important halachas here that are quoted in Yeridei. So maybe for tomorrow, concentrate on Lishinu. And Lishinu is an important Tosfos. And what else? And the bottom Tosfos, Dilma, is an important Tosfos. And we'll discuss what it says in Yeridei. Let's see if you have time to take a look for tomorrow. Take a look in Simen Tzadik Tes in Yeridei Chelek Aleph. Sif Hey, the Shach Sif Kotten Zayin, Eim Avat and Isal Chatchila. Take a look there, the Pischei Tshuva, Sif Kotten Gimel. Then take a look in Sif Vov, there's a Mechaber and a Ramor. Tosis here goes like the Mechaber, not like the Ramor. We don't pass like our Tosa, we pass like the Ramo. Take a look, Sivov, Simen Tzadik Tes Sivov, and the Shach Siv Kotten Yud Zayin discusses what Tosa is meant over here. And then take a look in Simen Tzadik Kei, by not, that Tosa has the discussion, the bottom Tosa has a discussion, we'll have to talk about that. Bottom Tosa on Laman Amin Aleph has a discussion about not by not. That's important, Halach Lemaisa. Okay. And then we'll probably try to finish tomorrow. And then we'll try to, after that, we'll try to go to the Mishnah on Laman Hamad Aleph, has all the dinim of Matzah, then has the dinim of Mara till the end of the parak. Okay, very good. Should all be healthy.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Rabbi, you have time for questions today?
Yes. Okay.
We mentioned in Shir how bread is usually, or it used to be, the staple of all meals. Nowadays, can bread be tafel?
Bread is sometimes tafel. The Gemara Brachas has. The person had herring, and the herring was so sharp, it was so salty, it's burning his throat. It's too salty. So he eats a piece of bread in order to wipe out, he swallows the bread in order to wipe out the salt from his mouth. So the Gemara said, he said shahakal on the herring, he doesn't have to say hamoitzi on the bread. You don't have to say hamoitzi, you're off the bench. Then you don't have to wash until it's a daimeter. So the Gemara says, sometimes bread is a tuffel, yes.
So also, Rabbi, just to clarify, these croutons I usually eat, well, they're usually in a salad. You know, the Caesar salad that I'll buy for lunch. I don't have to wash on these croutons. I can just say.
Why don't you have to wash on the croutons?
The only reason why I want the croutons is to enhance the flavor of the salad. I don't care about the, I wouldn't eat these alone.
I don't know about that. I think a lot of times the croutons are baked originally as bread, and then they cut it up in tiny pieces, and then they toast it. So they made it as bread originally. Even though they made it as bread al das, to eat it as croutons. But since they made it as bread, the Pashto says that it became hamoitzi and it doesn't lose its status of hamoitzi. I don't know if that's considered a tafel. I don't know. I want everything all together. It makes it crunchier. I don't know if that's considered a tafel. If the guy has salty throat and he eats bread just in order to get the salt out, that thing Mara says is considered tough because he doesn't really want the nourishment of the bread. But here he wants to eat the bread. He enjoys eating the bread croutons together with the vegetable salad. So it could be that here it's not a tough one. I would think it's not a tough one.
Rabbi, would we mentioned nap or not, that, you know, the flavor of the first piece of meat goes into the plate and then from the plate to the fish.
Yes.
Would it be if instead of the fish being put on the plate, it was cheese, hot cheese being put on the plate? Or would we say that that's Basar Bechal of Midaraisa?
I think we would assume that most of the big Achrayim hold that that's Basar Bechal of Midaraisa. I used to think on my own, how can it be Basar Bechal of Midaraisa? That's not, if you want to mix the flavor of the meat with the milk, you don't put cheese on a fleshy plate. Excuse me 1 minute. What is it? I'll soon be finished in 5-10 minutes. Yeah, 5-10 minutes. Yeah.
Rabbi, we mentioned today how Lefi the Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe, the only reason why we would do Haggalah at 2:12, regardless, is only midrabanan. But meikar adin, we would have to do the temperature. We could do the temperature lower, as for right. Whatever with balea. But didn't we mention yesterday with the deep fry that even though the time was balea with the oil, which is as a higher boiling point than water yeah. suffices. And so for saying that meikar adin, it has to be the same temperature, I would think that 2:12 is insufficient by deep frying. No.
Yeah, we only say it the lahokel, not lahachmer. If you have 2:12, that's enough, even though the blia was with oil that went way past 2:12, didn't evaporate at 2:12. Oil, the evaporation point is much higher. But you only say kabbalah kach polta to lower the temperature, not lahachmer. Yeah, that's what we assume.
Can Rebbe please repeat the whole question with can Liban work by a kli chares and with an earthenware utensil?
Yeah, the Gemara says here on Laman Amid Beis and in Zvachim Tzadik Vav that Liban works on a kli chares. So Tosis asked the question, but Hatorah here a kli chares that nothing helps. So they have to give the teretz. So Tosis gives one teretz and the Ra'or and the Berak Abayis. The Berak Abayis are the Hasakas of the Ra'or and the Rajbos Sefer Torah Abayis. So the Ra'or gives a teretz that there's a fundamental difference between Hagola and Liban. Hagola, you want the pot to spit out the treif of Blia. HaTorah Ha'ira Al Klicheres, and it doesn't You can't be maflit the whole bliya. It'll be maflit a little bit at a time. A little bit will come out, a little bit come tomorrow, a little bit come the day after, but you can't assume that you succeeded in getting the whole bliya out when you did hagola today. But if you do libel and the ra'or says, then you serve it b'mkomei, not maflit it. That's not yotze midei dofya. Eina yotze midei dofya means you can't assume that hagola will cause the kli to be maflit, all of the treif of bliya. Here it's not maflit, it's serve b'mkomei. That's what the ra'or says. And that's what the Avnei Nezer assumes, that we accept la halacha de ra'or. He says, because the Balatanya and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav on Yerudeya accepts the ra'or's answer. He doesn't accept Tosis. And Tosis' answer is a chiddush. Tosis says that since that's the way they manufacture Kli Cheres, that they burn it out, they heat it in a kiln, so then I say, Panam Chadosh Ba'olakan, it's a new kli. I treat it as if it's a brand. So what if it's a brand new kli, but it still has a treif of bliya in it? So you have to add on to Tosis, a little bit missing. You have to say that the whole din of not banat, the yisura is only made the rabbanon. Once it's a tam sheni, the treif of bliya was nibbled into the pot. Now it goes from the pot into the food. So that whole din, that not banat, the yisura is also, is only made the rabbanon. They only made it made the rabbanon if it's the same kli that it was when it was balei the yisur. But if we declare, we wave a magic wand and we declare it's a panim chadoshes, it's a new kli, so it's not the same kli. It doesn't identify as the same kli as it was when it's balei the treifas. So then we don't worry about the not by not. You have to be assuming that not by not the isur is only the rabbanon. But if you hold that not by not the isur is the raisa, what does it help that it's a panim chadoshes? So what? But it has the not by not bliya, so it should be treif.
So Rabbi, I think I understand the difference between Tosos and the Ra'ah, but I'm not fully, can everybody please repeat the question one more time?
How did the Gemara know to assume that Limon will help on a Kli Cheres? The Gemara says, you have a Pasuk in Chumash, that Yishover, Kli Cheres, Hashem Devush Abba Yishover. What it tells us is, you can't kasher a Kli Cheres. So how can the Gemara say that with Limon you can't kasher? So the Ra'or says, you're not kashering it. Kashering means it's going to spit out the bliya. Here, I'm burning out the whole bliya. There's no more bliya in the pot. The bliya disappears. Sarfa b'mkoma. Not that it causes it to come. And Taisa didn't think like that. Taisa understood that Liban also is maflit, just like Hagola causes the kli to be maflit, the tray for bliya. So Liban would also cause it to be maflit, the tray for bliya. And I said, because it's a panim chadash, it's like a brand new kli, it's not the same kli, al-pidin. It is the same kli. But al-pidin, we don't consider it the same kli. Like a gershon has got cut in shenava domi, so I consider this kli a new kli. It's not the same kli that was balei the trei for Yisra.
According to Rav, that says that no same tam lefgam is usher. So there's no concept of ben yomo.
Correct. Eina ben yomo is muta because nosen tam levgam. But if yom nosen tam levgam is also, then eina ben yomo is also going to be also.
Can Rebbe please elaborate on the it's an iser to eat milchik bread or fleishik bread. It's only mutter to eat par of bread.
Correct. You're not allowed to eat milchik bread, even though it says on the wrapper that it's milchik, right? That's what it says in the Yerudeya. Because he made by mistake eat the bread with the fleshiks. Because years ago, they used to eat bread with the whole meal. Today, nobody eats bread. Even on Shabbos, you eat a little bread in the beginning, and that's it. But years ago, they used to eat bread with the fish and with the meat and with the soup and with the vegetables. They always had everything with bread. The main course in the meal was really bread.
So, Rabbi, wouldn't I think to only usher milchik bread? Fleishik's bread, if we're having it with the meal anyway, I could assume that it's Fleishik's.
No, but he may eat the Fleishik bread with a milchik meal. Then I'll put butter on. I'll put butter on the Fleishik bread. I'll eat the Fleishik bread with milk.
Rabbi, just to clarify, we would use Liban Kal if some of the treif is crusted on the pot?
Yes. Sometimes it won't work. So if you have a lot of chazer schmaltz on the pot, the limon kal won't even help. Then you have to have a very strong detergent. Sometimes you need detergents with limon, yeah. Not so easy to get all of the trefa bien off of the surface of the pot.
Rebbe, do we paskin like the shach? Rebbe mentioned today a lot about the trefa barrel absorbing the wine or the milk. And so the shach says that the only way we could do milu v'iroi is if not only was it with tzonein, but it was also
terrible.
So do we possibly like that shach?
I think we do.
We mentioned yesterday how if let's say we have a pot that truma was cooked in, and then it's the next day already. So we have a pot that cooked truma eno ben yomo. It's still midrabana. We can't cook in it.
Right.
If let's say someone did cook, do we say that the food bidyeved czar is allowed to eat?
Not allowed to eat. Unless it's after 24 hours. After 24 hours, then doesn't tam lagam. I ignore it. L'chatchila, you shouldn't cook in a trefa pot that's ena ben yoma, but b'dieved, by mistake, you did cook. So if it's after 24 hours, then it's nice and tam lagam. So it doesn't matter the food.
The food could be eaten by a czar at that point.
Yes.
Can Rebbe, does there happen to be an explicit Gemara that says that the Amoraim accepted upon themselves not to argue with the Tanoim? I understand, like, you know, everywhere in Shas, you know, we say, the Braisa contradicts the Amora, so I guess that's implied.
Tiyufta, right? They say Tiyufta. We just had an Adaf, Lamanon base. Tiyufta, the Rava Bar Ahiloi. Why is it a Tiyufta? The answer is because if they saw all the Tanoim say one way, then they don't disagree. If they see it, it's a Machlokes in the Tanoim, and even though for many generations it was assumed like one opinion, so then they felt free to say, I hold like the other opinion. But if in the days of the Tanoim, they don't see anybody who says like them, all the Tanoim held one way, then it's assumed that they would never take a stand against all the Tanoim. That's question why. So that's what the Kesem Mishnah asks in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim. The Rambam says that the Bezdin in every generation is entitled to Paskin the way they see fit. So why can't Amoraim disagree with the Tanoim? So the Kesem Mishnah answers, Mikra din they may. Because anybody from the days of Yeshua ben Nun until the days of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, they all have the same status as Chachmei HaMasor. They all can disagree with each other. But the Amoraim had an attitude, they're not going to disagree. If all the Tanaim say one way, they're not going to take on all the Tanaim. But still, once in a while, you do find that they do disagree with all the Tanaim.
Rabbi, just to clarify the Ramban, who says that Chametz is Isura Bala, mentioned his reason is because, you know, it's a shame chametz all year round.
Right.
Is that a different answer than it's chametz is asur in the azara because a mincha can't be, you know, chametz? Or is that really the same thing? And we're saying, you know, it's asur in the mikdash and so too. It's
that's a support to the Ramban. You find that the din of chametz all applies all year long in the Beis HaMikdash with respect to menachas. Can't say that it doesn't have a shem chametz. It has a shem chametz all year long with respect to menachas. Just that the chametz bePesach is only asur on Pesach, but it has the shem chametz all year long. The Ramban's lashon is chametz shmoy olav. It has the shem chametz all the time. Absolutely, said Baraya that in Beis HaMikdash it applies all year long.
Rebbe, a random question. If what would be the din if there's a suffik psik resha suffik davar shenu miskavin?
There's a discussion in Malamed Lahayil about that. He quotes a Mishnah Brura. Malamed Lahayil is a tshuva sefer of Rav David Tzvi Hoffman. So he quotes the Mishnah Brura, quotes a Ramban, that it's Lahokel, and he shows that Achreinim had a machlekes. The Mishnah Brura has machlekes at Taz in the Magen Avraham. The Mishnah Brura quotes that the Melchamah says Lahokel. You have to know what the case is, though. If it's a suffix, so it's not a psik resha, how can it be a suffix psik resha? So he gives you what the case is. Suffix over. Yeah.
Thank you, Rebbe.
Very good. Okay.
There's, Does everybody have time for a few more questions?
A little bit. I think someone's, I have to be available for a phone call soon. Okay.
Okay. So should one say in benching Bonei Barachamav Yerushalayim, or should they just say Bonei Yerushalayim?
The Mechaber has the Mechaber's Nusach is Bonei Yerushalayim Amen. The Ramah is Nusach Bonei Barachamav. So usually Ashkenazim follow the minig of the Ramah. But here the Vilna Gaon thinks that we should say like the Mechaber, and a lot of the yeshivas in the Lithuanian yeshivas in Europe, they adopted this Nusach HaGro. They didn't follow everything that the Gro said, but this one somehow was accepted. I remember when I was a student in the yeshiva, and the Mashgiach would always bench every Shabbos afternoon by Shalosh Udos. He would always speak, and he was a Kohen, he would bench Mezuman, and then he would always say, Bane Yerushalayim Amen. Because in the Litter, he learned in Slobodka, I think. So he, the meaning in the Litvish yeshivas was like the Nusach HaGro on this issue. Yeah.
So what does does the Rebbe recommend we follow this, or just if you're from Litter, you should, if you're...
Why you? Is a carryover from Voloshin also? Voloshin also, they said like the Nusach HaGro. They didn't follow everything Nusach HaGro. But this they did follow.
Okay. And Rebbe mentioned in yesterday's share how the Mishnah Berurah, he would oftentimes try and have a way that you could be Mekayim all the Shitas.
Right.
Does Rebbe think that this is recommendable? Does Rebbe think that this is only for Hasidei Gedolim, or is this?
Yeah, that's what many Gedolim say, that for Balabatim we would recommend the Orach HaShulchan. For Bnei Yeshiva, we recommend the Mishnah Berurah because he has a lot of chumras. He can't force all his chumras on the Balabatim. But for Bnei Torah, who are medaktik and mitzvah, so then what to discuss? Maybe they should follow all the chumras of the Mishnah Berurah.
Sorry, just to be a Bnei Yeshiva, is this, could Rebbe be a little more specific on who a Bnei Yeshiva is? Like somebody who's like just stomped there in Yeshiva? I mean, or like the Rosh Yeshiva, maybe? Like, can Rebbe just elaborate?
Okay, so when the Talmidim learn a lot and they're interested in being more medaktik and mitzvahs, so then it makes sense to follow all the chumras of the Mishnah Berurah. But stam a guy is not looking for chumras. Mishnah Berurah has an awful lot of chumras.
Last question regarding stainless steel. Rebbe thought that the Rebbe who passed in Dinar Yisrael, who thought that stainless steel was not balea, Rebbe thought that he should have had a quorum of gedolim or whatnot. Yeah. So how do you know when they? Sometimes you need consensus, and sometimes you don't. So how do you know when you need consensus?
He's not even in the kashrus field. He's not in the field of kashrus at all. So how did he take a stand on a kashrus issue? He didn't consult any of the kashrus organizations. I don't think there's any kashrus organization in the world that follows that. So he wants to encourage everybody that they should be mekel. So have a conference and bring it up. You don't just print your sefer that this is the law. He hasn't yet been appointed the chief rabbi of the world.
But how do you, there's, for example, every time Rebbe Paskins, he doesn't call a conference together and Paskin, but there are certain shilas where you need a conference and certain shilas where you don't. So how do you know which shilas require a conference and which...
Yeah, don't. You're going to say that the Din of Shulchan Aruch doesn't apply. That's a chiddush. And now, all over the world, they are machmer on stainless steel. So you want to reverse the Psak HaMekubal all over. It's a good cause to reverse it. So that, you got to have a psashtikal consensus. You can't do on your own. I can take a stand on things where there's no Psak HaMekubal. The shayla comes up. There's no way we have been noyig. New shayla comes up, so it's open to the public to take a position.
Thank you very much, Rebbe.
Very good. Should all be healthy. We'll continue the Gemara tomorrow. Okay.